evam
evam
pratya
pratya
brahmasya
brahmasya
sarvamsya
brahmasya
ashau
ashau
atmanam
atmanam
prati
prati
padyate
padyate
shankarasya
shankarasya
dravasya
dravasya
yo
yo
vastanam
vastanam
anugraha
anugraha
evam pratyavam nishyasya
evam pratyavam nishyasya
atmanam pratipadyate
atmanam pratipadyate
sahankarasya dravyasya
sahankarasya dravyasya
is not different from him, but still the Lord declares, I am not there. When one clearly understands one's constitutional position, everything becomes manifest. False egoistic acceptance of things conditions one, whereas acceptance of things as they are makes one liberated. The example given in the previous verse, applicable here, due to absorption of one's identity in his money. When the money is lost, he thinks that he is also lost. But actually, he is not identical with the money, nor does the money belong to him. When the actual situation is revealed, we understand that the money does not belong to any individual person or living entity, nor is it produced by a man. Ultimately, the money is the property of the Supreme Lord, and there is no question of his being lost. But as long as one falsely thinks that I am the enjoyer or I am the Lord, this concept of life continues, and one remains conditioned. As soon as this false ego is eliminated, one is liberated. As confirmed in the Bhagavatam, situation in one's real constitutional position is called mukti, or liberation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we are reading this very nice chapter about the understanding of the material nature. This is the fundamental principle of our Bhakti Yoga, is to understand how the world works, how our body works. And Krishna consciousness is not only, it's one thing, it's a whole concept about understanding, and like it's mentioned here in the Purport, that the knower and the knowledge and the knower and one who, this is knowledge. Knowledge is something, it's a complete concept about everything, that combination of knowledge. To understand what is the world, how it works, who is behind it. Just like in this world we see in the world so many different countries and then how it's running, and like you come to Melbourne and how it's working, and there's a person behind who is conducting it. So similarly, this material universe, this material world, including us, our body, how it's working about, this is Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Maya Dakshana Prakriti, that's Prakriti, this is nature, his own nature, is directing it, making it work. So Characharam means one who maintains or running it, somebody behind you running it, Characharam. Maya Dakshana Prakriti, this Prakriti is his own nature, Maya is his energy, who conducts and maintains and makes it work of this material world. Maya Dakshana Prakriti. So a devotee especially understands how it all works. Just like in the spiritual world, this unlimited spiritual world is all working under Krishna's internal potency. And the material world is working under Krishna's energy also, but this is Maya energy, external potency. There's Maya potency, his marginal potency, and his own spiritual potency, known as the Radhani Shakti, that's like Radharani. So, ultimately, everything is working under the direction of Krishna. Krishna knows the Bhagavan, the source of all energies. So here, we have the ego is to think that I'm the doer. But actually, Krishna is the ultimate doer of everything. He is making it work. He is Bhagavan. He is the So knowledge means that we should understand who is behind it. Who is the karta? Who is the manager? Then that's the principle of Bhagavatam is to make the research, to understand, to search out who is behind it and serve him. And then that's the Bhagavatam describes how the creation is taking place. Very, very minute. We are living in it is very minute. It's like this universe, the beginning of the creation and the end of the creation, the dissolution. It's actually the universe is very big. Bhagavatam explains how old this universe is from the time of beginning to the end of dissolution. So if we're living in this world, if the universe lasts for millions of years, we live for 100 years. It may be just a few fractions of minute that we live. So still, the living entities we are thinking, and we live for so long, and we have so many ideas and lifespans. Isn't it? So, but actually, if you know, in connection with Krishna, we are eternal. Jiva Shurupai Krishna Nitadash, we are eternal servant of Krishna. That is the basic philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Bhagavatam. To understand our relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the supreme, ultimate, Virat. So big. It's not that we are merging into him. It explains here in this book that we are the minute particles of individual. So when you talk about knowledge, we have to understand the complete package. Like who I am and what is my relationship with Krishna and who Krishna is. That's complete. So if you look at someone and you want to know more about them, and you ask them who they are, where they live, and you develop a friendship with them. And this way you come to know more about that personality. So similarly, this material world is just Krishna's external creation. For the people living here, the living entities, we wanted to be here in this world, so Krishna created this world for us to exercise our desires, our will of whatever we want to do. That's why this material world is a complex creation, even though we didn't create it. We're not the creator of anything. We have just recently desire, and Krishna fulfills our desire, and so that's why he created this world, so we can live here and exercise our desires. But actually we are simply, we're not even the enjoyer. We think we are the enjoyer. Just like when we get the vegetables to cook, but we are getting from the market, but before that it's grown in the field. And then it's not just grown in the field, somebody has to grow it because of rain and so many things. The farmer will, there's a lot of work behind before you get the vegetables into your home. So, how it's being produced? So, this requires a lot of energy. So, we didn't create any of it. And so, we cook it, and there's a lot of work. In the kitchen, there's so much work and hardship. And so, and we sit down and we eat for 20 minutes, and I feel sick, or I ate too much. But we're not the enjoyer, but we think we're the enjoyer. We didn't create any of it. Just like we're breathing, all the time we're breathing. We didn't create one breath. We are blinking our eyes. Actually, the required air to blink our eyes. If I ask you to, not blink for a few minutes, you'll water in your eyes. It's difficult. So the air in our body is the prime source of energy. Who created that? As Krishna explained, that the eight types of energy in this world. So that's Bhumi Rapa Nalavayu. Another thing is water. We need water to survive. Earth, water, fire, air. If you didn't have air in your body, you couldn't digest your food. That's why I just came from China. They all drink everything hot. They carry water that's hot. If you go to China and give you a bottle of glass, they give you a glass of boiling hot water. If you're going for the first time, And what is really, really hard, and you're going to think, ah. Because they believe that they don't like, you know, freezing cold and cold drinks. This is Western thing with ice in it. There's a cold thing, so it put out the fire. So hot things is good. That's why we always eat hot food. Fish out of hot. Cook it too long. Radhavala gets cold food. The idea is that the fire in our stomach, it helps digest food. That fire is an essential element that helps us to digest. It's not like, you didn't put fire there. We just chew it. And even when you chew the food, you don't chew it properly, then you just swallow it. The stomach has to work harder. So similarly, we have to understand how this body is working. This is energy, Krishna's energy. Guru Rahu, Nala, Vayu. So ultimately, Krishna is the source of all energy, including our own body. Like I said, the eyes will blinker, all the time we're blinking. If you're in the air, you can blink. That's why there's a story of the gopis. They criticize Lord Brahma for, not being created. So we have to blink that time we're unable to see Krishna. The idea is that as a devotee, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that how this material nature is working, that nature is working under the direction of Krishna. That's why it's so perfect, because Krishna is perfect. And his energies are also perfect. If he's not working, we never heard the sun that rises on time or late. It's always on time. Or sets every time, every day, is exactly on time. That's his energy. But we in this world, we think we are the creator. That's the problem. We are not the creator. Everything we created, even so, still there is mistake. You see the airplanes, once in a while there's accidents, and everyone's dead. And you see the birds, and the flies, there's no accidents. You never hear that. They see, just a few days ago, they had in Melbourne, they had the firework. It could go wrong all of a sudden. So we create things, material things, that it's not the perfect. And Krishna's creation is not perfect. Om Purnam. Krishna, there's that Prabhupada's explaining this verb, Isha Vashamanam Sarvam. That Isha is the Supreme Lord and his creation, and he himself is complete and perfect in every way. That's why his material creation is also perfect. So that's why if we understand analytically how the world is working, and we will be able to understand that it's all due to Krishna and his energies. Spiritual energy, Prabhupada explained that is the spiritual world is so much more. It's a three-part vibhuti, which means the three parts of Krishna's creation, spiritual creation. So what we see in this world, the material creation, is only one part, ego part, vibhuti. So material creation is very very small. It's so much, but it's, compared to spiritual world, it's only one part of its creation. So we think, there's so few devotees here. But you go to the spiritual world, there's millions and millions of universes, all are devotees. That's the spiritual world. In the material world, it's just one part of his creation deviates from Krishna. But we don't have to worry, because it's all working very wonderfully by Krishna and his energies. Simply study the Srimad Bhagavatam. These things are going to be explained in other books. The Bhagavatam explains the true knowledge. Jnana nityatat jnanam. Through knowledge we can understand. The knowledge is not about material knowledge. Only spiritual knowledge can explain these things. Because spiritual knowledge, it describes Bhagavan, the knower, the creator behind. We are only talking about, in the material knowledge, they only talk about what we see. If you see something, because everything is based on seeing. So if you see something, then you talk about that. And you believe. And Prabhupada explains, everything is not based on belief or based on seeing. It's based on science. To understand that there is a supreme person behind everything. Then you can analyze and understand more through the research of the open. So, and show it to me. The people always say, show it to me. And then we say, we have the eyes to see. You need the spiritual eyes to see. How can you see something beyond us with this material body? It's purified senses. Even we cannot see, even material things with our eyes are limited. We are able to see so distant from here. And then we have to wear glasses or use a thing,
a telescope,
to see very far. Even so, we can see. The Bhagavad explains the spiritual world and the cosmic creation. We can't see hardly any of that. We can only see just near people near to us. So it's not always based on seeing or what I believe. We have to accept according to the Sanskrit injunctions. Guru Shadu Shastra. The Guru speaks, he doesn't speak his own words, he's speaking what his Guru spoke. And he's going back to Krishna. So this is the science being handed down, the knowledge that the Supreme Lord behind everything, that we can know him, we can serve him, we can be his devotee through knowing who he is first. Then we have to know who we are. That's what Bhagavad Gita explains, Bhagavad Gita explains, who we are in relation to Krishna and his position, and in our position in relation to Krishna. Then, when it's all clear, then we can understand and further. This is how it's being explained, Bhagavad Gita. That's Bhagavad Gita is perfect. It studies on ordinary books, materialistic books, economics and science. They can explain these things. The relationship of at the position of Krishna, Bhagavan and our position. What to speak of the material creation. They speak millions and millions of years ago based on some studies. Like the dinosaur and stuff like that. They study that. But it's beyond that. They have no understanding of the spiritual world, how it's working in the millions of universes. That's based on seeing. They study and they see and they analyze it according to what they see. But we can't always, like I said, we can't see things. We have to take the injunctions of the scriptures. I say, I don't believe the scriptures. Then what? But the scriptures is spoken by Vasudev, Sukadeva Goswami, and is they are speaking what they heard from Guru that goes back to all the way to Supreme. So it's coming down, that's not broken. Evam para prabhaptam. Krishna explained that the chain of succession is always there, so it's not broken. It's just being handed down. Nashta prayashu. So when you put your own words, then you are destroying that. The Guru speaks exactly what he heard from his Guru. So that's why the instruction remains as it is. So when you nashta prayashu, Krishna explains that when you put your own words interpretation, then it's lost. That the original science becomes lost. So the science of creation, the science of bhakti yoga, science of analytical study of the material universe is perfect and complete in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not that it's so difficult to understand. It's made easy for devotees to understand. Actually, Bhagavatam was only for devotees. It's mentioned. That's what Bhagavatam means. Bhagavatam means the description of Bhagavan or devotees. So that's why only devotees can understand, because we can understand Krishna, who is behind it, then you can understand nicely. If you don't understand Krishna nicely and Krishna's devotee nicely, you will not be able to understand everything clearly. It's not a PhD degree you get and you study. Like sometimes there are people, they speak on Bhagavatam in the university, on religion. And then when it's finished, during the break, they go out and have a smoke. Right. They say, I study Bhagavatam. But they don't have. How can you know Krishna without bhakti, without a devotional attitude? You will only study it professionally, but you will not have any your action, your lifestyle will not change. Your lifestyle will be the same as anyone else, non-devotee. But that's why to actually really understand Bhagavatam, you have to be devotee of Krishna. You have to associate with Krishna's devotee and hear the Bhagavatam with a humble attitude. Like it says, ego. Ego is, the real ego is the opposite to ego, false ego. The real ego is that I am the humble servant of the devotees. I am the humble servant of Krishna. I am the humble servant of my guru. That's the real ego. The real ego is when you can humbly put yourself in front of Krishna and his devotees. That's not, there's not another word for it. We only talk about false ego. Because false ego is, because most of the time we are always saying, I am the doer. But actually, even Srila Prabhupada, I've seen Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was here, there would be, during Guru Puja, people were just dancing. You never see anyone just like this, standing. Because Prabhupada was there on the west sun, they're offering him garland to the garland. He's like, you could see his ear. With his garland up here. Everyone, not just one garland. Everybody was giving him garland, all the sannyasis, and then whoever else. And they were giving him vases this big. What to do with all those flowers? Giant flower. And then he was trained. But he also loved it. Because when he saw the enthusiasm, the devotees, he was also throwing it to the devotees. And the flower would just go on the floor, you wouldn't see it. It would disappear in the air. Prabhupada had his lotus hands. He wouldn't see any of it. If it fell to the ground, he had the saffron dhoti or white dhoti, he would be all stained. Because everybody's stepping and dancing on it. And you're not looking at dhoti or my dhoti is stained. Because you're looking at Prabhupada. You don't have time for that. If someone's not for Prabhupada, he'll be looking at Prabhupada all the time. How he moves, how he gave. And everyone's so ecstatic. You're doing Guru Puja, you're looking at the back and someone's talking. None of that. Prabhupada's sitting there, on the Vyasa. But my point is that Srila Prabhupada never even once. And you see all the deities of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan and in Mayapur, all the places, the temple here. Prabhupada, he wanted his deity, where he sat exactly across the deity. Because he used to be meditating on Krishna. He was looking at Krishna. Even though everyone was offering him so much respect, so many garlands and singing Jai Prabhupada, he never even thought himself to be, he was very humble, he was looking down. And he just exchanged his love for his disciples and the devotees. And he enjoyed that. That's why everybody loves devotees so much. Because Prabhupada himself loves devotees. So Prabhupada was looking at the deities. He didn't care for any of the respect he got. So this is known as the Hare Krishna movement. We talked about it with another devotee. Prabhupada is Hare Krishna movement.
He didn't say, it's a Prabhupada movement. A lot of people don't know who Srila Prabhupada is. But they said, it's a Hare Krishna movement. He wanted Krishna to be famous. He put Krishna in the front. And someone was talking about him, Prabhupada came here, and they heard Prabhupada everywhere, Prabhupada's name on the brochure, on the stick, on the city wall, for Prabhupada to, when he was giving their talk. But then when they went to meet Prabhupada, he was only talking about Krishna. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm this, I'm that. So, when we actually understand Krishna is the source of everything, there's no question of any type of ego in us. Ego is when you think we are the creator. That's the purpose of this verse. That we understand this vast universe, this whole creation is so big, and I'm so small. You look, like I remember when I was small, I would go to, I find a place where there is a very raised area. Go up to the top, look at the very distance where the sun's rising, or the ocean, very far. And I see some light at the wall, I wouldn't be there. And I look, I'm so small, it's so huge. So it startled me. I was thinking, wow, I'm just so tiny. You go to the ocean here, you know, Australia is very famous for ocean. You know, it's a place like if you live in Mayapur and Darwin, you never see ocean. I come here, there's a big ocean. Actually, you can learn something from it. When you go to the ocean, it's so huge. Krishna says, our body of water, I'm the ocean. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam explains. So, when you see the ocean, you see yourself tiny, tiny. Or in an airplane, you see, look down, all the big tall buildings just looks like it's tiny. And if you're down there, you can't even see you. You look like an ant. So, we are very tiny. But yet, what we are thinking to ourselves, we may be thinking, I'm so big. So actually, we are very tiny. We are just if we serve Krishna, if we think of Krishna as He is the Supreme, then we are big. Means in connection to Krishna. Even if you're tiny, Krishna can see you. But the devotee is always thinking, I'm very tiny. That's the attitude. So it's all depending on our attitude. So Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga means with the feeling of love, with the spiritual attitude, with spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. You're conscious of Krishna. You're not, your attitude is of Krishna's attitude, Krishna consciousness. So you're not thinking yourself the dual. You're thinking Krishna. You're putting Krishna in the front. And that's how everything goes perfect. So if I make a mistake, it's a Hare Krishna. Things go perfect. You go to cook. You think, oh yeah, I have this plan, that plan. I was talking with Jagannath Balabhu, because he is always writing vegetables. I was talking to him, he said, oh, I go in the kitchen, I cook, I have no idea. I make a big plan and go there. When I go to the kitchen, I have a plan what I'm going to cook today. It's just everything just proof. And you're standing there. Sometimes, even me, I make all the plan. When I go there, I'm lost. And I have to cook. It's just my mind saying, oh, I've got to make, you know, 3 buckets of sabjis, 3 different types for 100 people. So I don't even know what I'm going to be cooking that day. So all my plans. So, but then I say, Hare Krishna, Krishna, please help. You know, give me your mercy. I pray to the devotees, please give me a blessing. This should be the attitude. And everything just goes fine. And like, oh, you think. So everything we do, we have to always commit ourselves in this attitude. Humble attitude, humble approach. Krishna himself said, approach a bona fide spiritual master with a humble attitude. Humble attitude, then you're willing to give him the knowledge. You become the proper recipient. You receive the knowledge. But you don't have that attitude, you will not get it. You can offer Krishna the most delicious food in the golden plate. We have your silver plate. We chant the best mantra, but we have to have an attitude, bhakti. He may not accept it. He may accept it. That's his will. So, we are giving Krishna the best we can, but with the spiritual
attitude, love, bhakti. That is the ingredients. So the ego is the ego, the spiritual ego. We have to manifest within us. We are born into love. That's why we love Krishna, then we have love for many other things in this world. Love for a comfortable life. That's why we came to Australia so we can have a better life, so and so. But let's remember, we are only here for a short time. Material world, wherever you go in the material world, and you know, our body goes with us, our ego goes with us, suffering goes with us. So if you actually really love Krishna, give yourself, dance in front of Prabhupada and Krishna, and this thing is shaken away. Shubhak Maharaj always tells in the class, when you clap your hands in front of the deity, and people always say, if you go to China, they always have these people inside the road, they're reading your hands. You pay money, and they read your hands. Everybody's interested to know the future, good luck, whatever, family, stuff like that. So, if you clap your hand, the line change in front of the deity. Sometimes in devotee's hand there's no line, I don't have hardly any lines. Later in Danga, the lines all cut off. Too much time. Even too much in the kitchen, it's all burned away. So, if you ask me and show me your hand, I'm putting it in the pocket. There's hardly any lines. So, the thing is, if you. Devotee's life is full of auspiciousness, full of good quality. If more sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, if you associate with the devotee for a moment, then all goodness will come, all auspiciousness will come. Because they are imbibing the blessing of Krishna, they're imbibing and carrying the blessing of Prabhupada. That's why the emphasis is on associating with the devotee. Not that, I can chant my own, but you see the difference. When you chant just one round of japa, or kirtan in the temple with the devotees, it's such a different feeling, isn't it? Go around, it's different. I do it in the park here, there, or on my way at home, on the train, it's not the same. Or you stand in a clicker, stand in the tosi beads, such a difference. You touch on the tosi, it just feels good. No, you can just wear plastic tosi. But why wear it? Because it makes us feel good, it purifies us, it changes the consciousness. So similarly, when you we have the right attitude of performing devotional service, that humble attitude, spiritual attitude, without fear and ego, that is a very peaceful. So the connection, everything has a connection, you know, to the computer or this or that or anything, you have to make the connection. The one keyword is the connection. If there's no connection, then nothing works. Like the, right? If you're a technology or your technician, you work on how, if the electrician, whatever, you have to see if the plug is working. So you can receive or you not receive. Because if the connection is wrong or too old or working, it's not connected. So you don't get it, you don't receive. So to be able to receive, you have to be connected. To connect yourself, you have to have that. That spiritual mentality. So, when we can understand this world is so big, everything, and we look at it, we see ourselves very minute, we are so small. And Krishna is so big. Virat, who? And Krishna manifests himself so big. Suddenly, he's so huge. Arjuna said, No, I don't want to see that. Please show me your beautiful form as two-armed form, as Govinda, Samson, and Krishna. At last, it's too ghastly. So Krishna, he manifests himself in Radha and Krishna, and Samson, the beautiful form to the devotees. Krishna says, I come as death, or who, from Chalice. We're not afraid of death, because we know Krishna is coming in the form of death. Say, Hare Krishna. Any danger comes to Hare Krishna. Like I said, if you chant Hare Krishna, everything goes perfectly. You have to have that kind of strong attitude to be able to. We are baffled by material nature in this world at every moment. Suppose that everything is going fine and you have everything you need in life. You may say, I don't need God anymore, I don't need Krishna. No, we have always been Krishna. By His mercy, like I said at the beginning, by His mercy, we are able to breathe, we are able to blink our eyes, we are able to digest our food. The elements in our body, the air, the bhumi, rapa, nala, vayu, the universe is working in these energies that we're relying on. The body is subsisting, is existing because of these energies. You may be millennia, but you still need to blink your eyes. Even a millennia, you still need to drink a glass of water. Bhumi, rapa, nala, that these energies is Krishna's primal energies, material energies. We are totally dependent. If this universe, there's no air, we couldn't breathe. So Krishna's put in all that. And our body is the first. You can have a home and everything, a nice place to stay, a nice bed and everything, but your first home is your own body. Body, sharir, this body is like a home, is a city. So this body is functioning nicely, then automatically you can sleep nicely. If you have a lot of stress, you can have a nice bed, but you can't be able to sleep. So, if we have to understand that this universe, that within this universe, we are living here, existing here in this universe, and this body, earth, is made of earth, water, fire, air, is part of this world, part of this universe. And so this universe and our body is connected by this material energy and is working on the direction of Krishna. And then we worship Krishna and serve Him. This way is perfect. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions? Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. I would like to ask you how to develop that appreciation for association and opportunity for service and mercy that Krishna is giving us.
How to associate?
No, how to develop that appreciation for everything He's giving us.
Appreciation. Appreciation comes when we, like I said, like when you have that attitude, humble attitude also. Because when we think ourselves different from that, this is why we associate. When we associate, we are humbled. We see what we are in our position. And we see others' performance of their service. And not only that, it's not a mechanical thing. We have to understand that we are, you know, Krishna is supreme, and we have to understand through knowledge. That's what it says here, knowledge and the know. So when you apply the knowledge, you study the books, Prabhupada books, talk to the devotees, hear the Bhagavatam so nicely, understand everything clearly, associate with devotees, chant nicely, the knowledge becomes revealed to you. It says that sometimes, even sometimes the devotees may explain to you nicely and you have still some doubt, then you praise Krishna, chant Krishna nicely. Krishna Himself from within will reveal to you more clearly. Because sometimes when Prabhupada used to give the talk, many people had many ideas and questions. Prabhupada spoke, the doubts were gone. They didn't even want to ask Him questions, because Prabhupada already answered it. So to appreciation comes when you apply the knowledge, when you possess the devotees. It doesn't come. So when people come here, we give them nice prasadam, they see the beautiful deity. Even children, when they come, such a nice place, they are so cooly and so clean. I remember when I came to her age, and we are in a village, very clean also, but we came to Mayapur, so nice marble floor, so clean. I saw the deity, we said Thakur. So beautiful Thakur, so clean, so glittering, with such beautiful, so appreciated right from the beginning. I said, I don't want to go home, my mother. I said, I'll stay asleep on the floor. It's so cool. I'm staying in this temple. No, come home. We have the good food there. Yeah. And I heard the smell. I smelled the prasadam coming from the first floor in my pool, the first time. And my mother's a good cook. She used to cook about that. But this smell, I can't even explain. It's so different, so special. It just, I went in my heart. I can still smell it. You know, so that I went home, I said, I want to go back to the Silent Hill, the White Temple. I want to go there. I want to be with them. So that appreciation comes when you see that. You know, you see everything is so nice, so beautiful. You see, wow, you know, so gorgeously dressed. And you see a nice, beautiful place, off, especially in the Melbourne Temple, so beautiful streets. I don't want the rice, the Sunday, because you can choose, there's so much variety. There's nothing wrong with that. You can choose the variety. So you appreciate automatically. So the beauty of a beautiful temple, beauty of Krishna consciousness, beauty of its glory, is that they can present it so nicely. We can make it so sweet and palatable, and so you appreciate anyone. He said, I don't like the Hare Krishna stuff. I like the food. You know, they said that. I like the crossways, I don't like your philosophy, but I like the food. But that's okay. At least they appreciate the prasad. They will get the mercy. So appreciation comes, we have to create that. We have to create beauty. Keep the temple clean, you see. You know, people come first time to see the garbage on the way and all this. You know, you 9 o'clock offering very late, nobody's watching, it's very dark, and drink the milk and throw the cup on the floor. To clean this Krishna's place, treat it as your own home. Like, so when people come, think for others. When people come, they say, wow, so clean. Then that's how appreciation comes. Anyone can appreciate it. And what do you speak when you read the books and read it and you see the knowledge? It's so beautiful. So convincing. So you learn to appreciate from the beginning through different ways. You may not appreciate knowledge, but it comes later. You can appreciate small things, prasadam, and people how they dress, simple things, like that. You know, Mataji is that you cover your hair with the sari. In India, they wear sari, the ladies. They're not devotees, but they cover their hair. So in the temple, they say, wow, you are from America, and in India you were, and I'm from India, and I'm not covering my hair. So they appreciate. Wow, you are doing it and I'm not. You know what I mean? So, that like that. You have to create that atmosphere when people can learn to appreciate. Appreciating means not each other. They ultimately appreciate Krishna. So that's actually a good thing. We want Krishna to become the prominent. So if you preach Krishna consciousness, you have to make sure that people will appreciate. But we have to first of all appreciate ourselves and others will, like, you cook something for Krishna, you don't like it, then how can Krishna will accept? If you don't like it, people like it also. So you have to be able to know. When you're cooking, you're mouth dripping. So, wow, it's so good, I want to eat it. You don't think that. You would think it's for Krishna. But you have to also understand it's so nice. It's for Krishna. I hope he enjoys it. So when we do some things that people enjoy, wow, so beautiful, so nice. So the appreciation, it comes right in the beginning. Sometimes it's not always I'm devotee and we have to have the right mentality. Even we can be a devotee, but at the same time we may not have the right mentality. Maybe we may have a demonic mentality that devotee dress can be. So Krishna's character is all in us. We are made out of Krishna's energy. There's no question of not. Because like in the beginning I said, we're not the creator, Krishna's created everything. But we understand that it's Krishna's quality in us. But we're not seeing Krishna, we're seeing ourselves as the poor. That's the attitude, that's the wrong attitude, that's it. That the demoniac materialistic mentality. So ultimately, Ishava Shamanam Sarvam, Om Purnamanas Idam Purnam. So Krishna is perfect and complete in every way. Even we are perfect and complete because we are His creation. But when we see ourselves different from Krishna, separate from Krishna, like this world and everything related to Krishna, then that's the imperfection. Material world is created, but at the same time, nonetheless, material world is His creation. It's His external energy, but this external energy business is working in my direction. So it is His energy, but it's His external energy. Nothing is outside of Krishna. Looks like this microphone is material, elegant, but it's useful for Krishna, it's spiritual. So it's not like, you know, it's easy to, like that. We are not creator of anything, even our body is material, but we didn't create it. We're depending on it, we're using it, but we are the soul, spirit soul. But we have the material body, it's separate from the soul, but the body is material, but even so, this material body is Krishna's external energy, who He created through His external energy. So if you analyze these things, then you know Krishna as a behind everything, and we're His servant.
Could this Krishna answer those qualities which are does Krishna also
Krishna Himself. Krishna, yeah?
Can you repeat that?
I get it that way.
So, if demons are getting qualities, like we are the part and parcel of Krishna, we get the same qualities on a very minimum level from Krishna, right? So, when somebody is with a demonic mind or a demonic mind, do they also get the same kind of quality because of Krishna? Because Krishna has them? Somebody is a demon and their mindset is with a negativity, they were thinking. So that's a quality in their mind, right? So are they getting it from Krishna because Krishna also has that quality?
Okay. So the demons, Krishna has only the positive quality. We have the demonic quality. So they're not getting from Krishna. Krishna doesn't have anything demonic, no such thing. We create the demonicness. So we cannot say, oh, Krishna, we get everything from Krishna, yes, because we have, everything comes from Him. That's the wrong understanding. But actually, we get everything from Krishna, all the best things. Anything else, we create the thing. But suppose you say, I do all the good things. I'm the creator of the good things. Bad things, I give to Krishna, He created that. No, that's the wrong way. The demonic mentality, we are the creator of that. We that's the material world. We develop that in association with material world, material nature. But the spiritual world is only positive things, all the best things. Krishna, we get from Krishna all the good things. That's where we have the good side and bad sides in this world. And the good side of us, we see all the good things. And there's always the bad side. The bad side is the material world. It's Krishna's external world, his material world. So you cannot say that it's coming from Krishna, because He is perfect, He is the creator of everything. No, that's a wrong understanding. The Bhagavatam does explain like that. Yeah.
Can I just add as well to Prabhu's question? Isn't that Krishna gets angry as well while somebody offends His devotee on that person?
Yeah.
Or is He not, like, while He was stealing butter from the gopis? So all this is, I think, just correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding, that He has these qualities, but they are all on the transcendental platform.
Yes.
And we, like demons, so they accept that they are the doers, they...
You can also see it this way.
So they are developing these qualities in the bad man, they do misuse them.
See, Krishna, if He, like you said, thank you, if Krishna steals, when we steal, you know, it's not the same, we would go to prison. But Krishna is perfect. He is worshipped for that. So it's transcendental. But if we steal, it's not transcendental. But maybe something you can steal. It's allowable. Suppose Mahabhashar or something, very simple thing like that. But we don't steal. So at the same time, Krishna is God, whatever he does is transcendental and is perfect. But we're not to imitate that. So we simply follow his instruction. Krishna also did things like lifting heel. So I have to do what Krishna did. We can't. We need to follow his instruction and obediently serve him. But we can't say, he did so many things, I will just follow, imitate him. That's not wrong. We can't imitate Krishna. Because we can follow his instruction. So maybe it is something that Makanchavar and many other things mischievous, but he also married 16,108 wives. And in Bengal, they always say, Krishna, he has so many wives. And I also know. We can't even take care of one. But Krishna, he maintained 16,000. So then we cannot imitate Krishna. We can follow his instructions, serve him. See, that's also. So you brought up a good point. Thanks. I have to stop because I need to go to the kitchen. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Bhagavatam ki jai.